This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Place to Be Nation Sports Network 2.0. I have my 2.0 co-host with me, as per usual, John D'Amato. We'll save the joke. The joke went over great last time, so we're gonna save it. But this is This Week in the NFL, newly named. So this is the second week we're doing this. So we get a name, which means that we're an actual series, John. How's it feel?
We're weekly. I guess that we got renewed, or for how many episodes? I don't know. Is this Netflix or? But anyway, because Sunday night at the halftime of the Sunday night game, I felt like retiring from being an NFL fan. It was rather depressing. But then I have an obligation to talk to you every week, and I have an obligation to all, you know, our loyal fans. And I have a column on the Place to Be Nation, Wednesday AM quarterback. I have a very demanding editor that's very tyrannical, and I signed the contract, and I have to honor it, a very lucrative contract. So I don't want to give that up. So, but then, you know, I got over it. Once there's no feeling like between 4 and 4:30 when all those games, when you got the red zone and your local game and about three or four games are going down to the wire, that's the greatest time of the week. So, I just look forward to get back to that.
Doesn't get any better than that, John. And yeah, if you don't read Wednesday morning quarterback on placetobenation.com, John's doing a great job there of giving you his hard-hitting analysis. And that's what you're going to get here too. And to say we were renewed, I mean, we're really kind of gracing the airways with our presence. I mean, we could be anywhere. We could be anywhere. We choose to do this on the Place to Be Nation Sports Network 2.0. And those guys have been good to us, so, you know, I figure we'll throw them a bone. You know what I mean, John?
Of course, our unique analysis, and you know, hopefully nobody's going out and spending their hard-earned money on our predictions.
At least my predictions. I believe I was destroyed last week. So much so that we might not even do the predictions anymore. How's that sound?
That sounds great, because a lot of those games were just a toss-up, and it turns out one of the games was an actual tie, so I'm sure we'll get to that.
You can go out on top, Mr. D'Amato.
Beautiful.
All right, so let's get right to it. We're taping here on a Thursday night, about 8:30, so Jets-Browns, it'll be a spoiler-free. We're not going to discuss the game live on the podcast that isn't going to be posted until tomorrow. But needless to say, the Brownies are going for their first win in a long time. They're actually favored in this game. We'll see what happens. But real interesting week last week, John. And we talked a lot about it during last week's show, but what a day on Sunday. Just as some surprises, some crazy stuff. We've had some, you know, some big signings for, you know, a local team of mine over the last week. So we got a lot to talk about. Where I wanted to get started, though, was the kind of the eye-opening game of the week. Kind of hurts me personally, but that's okay. We're able to separate that here on this week in the NFL. But Jacksonville really made a statement at home, beating the Pats 31-20. And they even withstood the comeback. It looked like, you know, they have a big, it was essentially a carbon copy of the AFC title game, with Jacksonville jumping out to a big lead, the Pats coming back. It looked like Brady was going to lead the boys back, and then, you know, done in by another strip sack, and done in by D.D. Westbrook, of all people, taking really padding Blake Bortles' stats, taking a 5-yard pass, 60-something yards to the house. What were your main takeaways from the game?
Well, during your so-called comeback, there was a lot of panic, saying, "Oh, here come the Patriots! They're going to do it again." But to me, I didn't see it that way. I thought Jacksonville had the game in hand all along. As a matter of fact, that comeback was caused by a couple of foolish turnovers on their part, where the wide receiver barely got touched and he coughed it up for like his first catch. It was just a little inexperience. But their defense had that game. There was never a doubt in my mind that they were going to hold on to that game. They took Gronk out of the game, which you rarely see. Their defense really stepped up, and like I said, that was a statement game. And of course, the coach Maroon, he was probably a little too sensitive to that. He was a little too conservative last year, and even when the game was well in hand, he still had Bortles rearing back and firing away, which is a little unnecessary. But he was just doing that to show that he was not conservative, and they were going to go after it. But I think they totally dominated, and it was never in doubt to me.
Yeah, I mean, they played a great game, and they're an excellent team. I think there's no there's no doubting that. I think Bortles, just kind of because of how bad he sort of sucked for a while, has to the point now he's pretty underrated. I mean, he played great. He played really well toward the end of last year too. And if he's a real quarterback, he doesn't need to be the best quarterback in the league, but if he's like a top 15 quarterback in the league, they're going to be a real tough out for anybody, because that defense is ferocious. They're loaded at the skill positions. I mean, to beat the Patriots like that without Leonard Fournette was very impressive. From the Pats side of things, I try not to hit the panic button. I don't think they're hitting the panic button. It seems that these early season kind of bad losses tend to happen every year. Kansas City a couple of times, and you know, I think it's a good. I think Bill actually likes it when they get their ass kicked like this. Lets them ride them a little harder in practice, and especially given how bad the AFC East is, I think the Patriots are going to be just fine.
An early wake up call, and then they get to see an old friend this week, so they should get right back on to their winning ways. I'm sure they already have his defense all figured out, Mr. Patricia, his Lions. They got coming up this Sunday night.
Yeah, big Sunday night game. I mean, the Lions, clearly the way to beat the Pats is through the air, and it's the one thing the Lions can do. So the game does scare me a little bit, but you know, Patricia has been a dumpster fire so far, kind of predictably. So there's definitely a scenario where the Pats go in there, are up 14-0 in the first 5 minutes of the game, and it's just a laugher.
And you alluded to the big acquisition, Mr. Josh Gordon. Let's discuss that, because I saw a lot of hubbub that basically the Pats got a steal, and they got the next Jerry Rice. For somebody that hasn't really had a big year since 2013, he's had one big year in his career. And other than that, he's been the cause of very, very many headaches. And what do you think? And it's not automatic that the Patriots are just the automatic cure for all these guys with issues. I mean, Randy Moss, of course, and he had problems in other places, and he came to the Pats and was a model citizen. But there are plenty of other examples. Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, whatever, forever. He didn't know how to run a route, and he didn't do much. So let's hear your thoughts as a diehard Pat fan.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of somewhere in the middle. So they have whiffed on some free agent wide receivers, like you mentioned Ocho Cinco, and they had some other older guys. I think Joey Galloway is another example of that. Those guys were over the hill. Gordon, from like a straight talent perspective, is the closest thing to Randy Moss that's been in New England since Randy Moss. I mean, he's an uber, uber talented kid, but obviously the big, it's not, you know, say off the field stuff, but it's really the guy's obviously, and he's talked about it, has just a, you know, it's just a real bad addiction problem, real bad substance abuse problem. And, you know, those things are, it's a difficult thing to keep in check. Right. So I don't think coming to the Patriots is going to be a magic cure for his for his issues, but you know, there is some reason for hope. One, it doesn't look like he failed a test. Like when the Browns came out and said they were releasing him, I thought for sure that he had failed a test. And if he failed a test, he'd be on the Martavis Bryant plan of minimum suspension a year. He probably wouldn't play another down in the NFL. But it really looks like it was just kind of a culmination of things where the Browns had stood by him through, you know, like you said, you know, a few years of missed time due to his issues. And he was late, and he got injured doing some kind of photo shoot or promo shoot, and lied about it, apparently. So given that, I mean, if he's sober and engaged, I mean, this guy led the NFL in receiving yards in 14 games with Jason Campbell as his quarterback. So he might not be what he was then, but if he's 80% of that with Tom Brady throwing him the ball, I mean, there's definitely the potential that he's like a Pro Bowl receiver. He has that kind of talent. They didn't risk a whole lot. They gave up a 5th-round pick, and if he doesn't play 10 games for them, they get a 7th-round pick back. So I think for a calculated risk, it's fine. I know Peter King today said something along the lines of this was beneath the Patriots as an organization to do this. And I, you know, the whole Patriot way stuff, like I think they run a tight ship, and I think the Patriot way is more, they can bring a guy in like this and not worry about him poisoning the locker room and things like that. Like if there's any of that shit, he'll just be gone. But I believe in second chances. I certainly hope he's dynamic. And I think we're going to see him this week. Like, he's been practicing on a limited basis this week. I think you'll at least see him out there a little bit this week. He probably doesn't know the whole playbook yet. But for a 5th-round pick or a potential game changer like Gordon, I'm in favor of the move.
That beneath the Patriots stuff is ridiculous, because every team has somebody with issues on it now. You can't avoid it anymore. If you hire all choir boys and stuff, you're going to have a losing team. Yeah, you have to have guys with some edge. Every team's got at least one or two guys with an issue here or there. But the main thing for me is he hasn't played on a regular basis since 2013. And to play for Coach Bill, you got to be out there practicing all the time. So if he can't stay on the field, maybe I see him giving him a spark for a couple games here or there. But I don't see him lasting for the whole season.
Yeah, I mean, there's the, you know, the history would suggest that you're going to be right about that. But he did come back at the end of last year. He played their last 4 or 5 games, and he was going to play. He was going to play. He got a touchdown pass week 1. So we shall see. Real interesting signing. They really need the help at receiver. I mean, it's especially without Edelman. But they don't have a guy like him. You know, Malcolm Mitchell was kind of like that, but obviously knee injuries did him in. So could be a nice little toy for Brady. And they don't really need him to catch 100 passes. You know, if he can stretch the field and draw some coverage away from Gronk, job done.
I wouldn't panic if you're a Patriot fan. Exactly. One game, as you said, they lose one every September, and Only for that one time. What was it? A few years ago when they lost the Kansas City game when it was Armageddon, where they were gonna, when it was gonna be last year, they were gonna change. There was Belichick was gonna leave and Brady was gone and everything. That Armageddon game, and they miraculously turned it around that year. So I wouldn't panic, guys.
Yep, agreed. I think we're used to it at this point. And again, with the way the division is, I mean, 10-6. Should win the division. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I know Miami's 2-0, but I don't think they're a good team. And the Jets are at least a year away. And Buffalo, as we talked about, is the maybe the worst team. I think they're worse than the Browns were last year, which is really saying something. They are terrible. Like, how, you know, what do you think Minnesota's going to do to them this week in Minnesota?
Yeah, they're going to beat them as handily, but I wouldn't. I would say there's at least a little optimism, because Allen got in there and it looked like he's going to be all right. And definitely not this year, but he made some plays. He gave him some hope and he kept him in that game.
Yeah, definitely a big improvement on Peterman. He's not really ready, but they're not winning now anyway. So I'm all for him getting the reps. He's got a cannon. He's got an absolute cannon. And you know what I liked? He didn't quit in that game. They didn't quit in that game. So we shall see. All right, next up, wanted to talk. We just mentioned the Vikings. Great, great game between the Vikings and the Packers that unfortunately ended in a tie because Minnesota had, you know, cowboy out there kicking field goals for them. But for Minnesota to go into Green Bay like that and put up that performance, as Green Bay played a good game, I thought it was, you know, Cousins looked great. I think they're a good team. I think they're a really, really good team, and those two are going to be duking it out for that division. What were your thoughts?
Well, first of all, Green Bay has got to be in heaven because they're about two plays from being 0-2, and to be sitting at 1-0-1, and they got the Redskins this week. They got Buffalo down the line. They got Arizona. They got some bye weeks where they're actually playing, if you know what I mean. So the Packers got to be elated that they're 1-0-1. They could very easily be sitting at 0-2. That's number one. And number two, a big thing that I took out of was Cousins. The way he led them back to get that tie with that magnificent throw to Thielen, which then again, two Packers defenders were within an inch of knocking it away. But that was a terrific throw. And for him to lead him back versus a division rival and put him in a position to win the game if it wasn't for the kicker, that's got to be a big boost of confidence for Cousins, because Cousins' big thing with the Redskins was he was horrific in those big games, right, versus division rivals, like versus Dallas, he didn't step up. That's why the Redskins weren't really too sad to see him go, the Redskins and their fans. He never stepped up versus the Cowboys and the Eagles, even a couple of years ago when all they had to do was beat the Giants, who were playing for nothing, and he threw up a fart bomb. So that game was huge for Cousins' confidence.
Oh, definitely, and he played great. And I mean, I know folks talked about what a good year Keenum had last year, but you can see it. You can see that Cousins is a better quarterback than him. And those weapons that they had, those two receivers are both just fantastic. And Dalvin Cook, when he gets going. And then their defense is fantastic, too. I mean, they're really for real. Like, I kind of – them and Jacksonville, I doubted a bit coming into the season. And I feel like I stand corrected that they've proven to me over these first 2 weeks that they're both very, very much playoff and Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah, Zimmer looks like he's going to be a big time coach for a long time. He looks like he's got what it takes to take them all the way. And also they didn't stall, and they cut bait right away on that kicker who they drafted, by the way. They used a fifth round draft pick on him, so they bit the bullet on him and cut him right away. They didn't do what they did when they lost that playoff game a couple of years ago, and they stuck with Walsh the year after. They learned their lesson, and they cut bait right away. And they're fortunate to have Bailey was sitting there, who we talked about last week, is a solid kicker who was just waiting for the right team to join.
That's certainly the right team. I mean, kicking in the dome with that high octane offense, I mean, it's the best situation possible for a kicker.
That's got to be a lesson for all teams. Don't waste a draft pick on a kicker. You saw Tampa a couple of years ago.
Aguayo.
They took Aguayo, yeah. And that was – it seems like these high picks turn into a disaster. You remember the years ago the Giants drafted a punter named Matt Dodge.
I do remember.
Yes.
The big one that worked out was Janikowski. But they took him. He was a first-round pick.
Yeah, and Seabass is still doing it for Seattle. He hit like a 50-something yarder straight through. So.
Yeah, craziness.
That was the exception within the rule.
It's true, and I'd still argue that even though he's close to a Hall of Fame kicker, right? He probably won't make the Hall of Fame, but he's close to a Hall of Fame kicker. That it still wasn't worth the first round pick. The next thing I wanted to talk about, John, kind of. Couple two teams together here. If there's a story to the season so far, I think these two teams are the story to the season, and they're similar in a lot of ways. High octane offenses, very, very shaky defenses, and quarterbacks who you didn't, you know, who were giant question marks coming into the year, who are really, really performing well. So yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs go into Pittsburgh. You knew it was going to be a shootout, but for Mahomes to out-gunsling Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh and on a day when Roethlisberger threw for over 450 yards, the Chiefs' defense is a sieve. The Pittsburgh's defense is a sieve, too. But Mahomes, 6 touchdown passes, 10 touchdowns in the first two games, I believe, is the has never been done before. Not by a second-year guy. Never been done before. He's off to literally the best start in NFL history. And then you had a giant surprise. They were surprised week one, and even more so week two, Tampa against Philly's very good defense. I don't think it's an indictment on Philly's defense. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 400 yards. They win 27-21. Both these teams are sitting at 2-0. They're kind of getting there the same way. What are your thoughts on we'll start with KC.
Oh, Patrick Mahomes, can he keep that up is the question. He was fortunate. And again, now this week, the home to the 49ers, he may put up another six burger. So, but let's see what happens when they got Jacksonville week five. That's going to be a big test. New England at New England week six. So and at Denver. So after this week, the party's over. Where he's got at Denver, Jacksonville, and New England. So if he could survive that and keep up some semblance of his numbers, he's going to be good to go. But right now he's got a favorable schedule and that's steal a defense. I mean, you shouldn't fall apart after missing one guy, but obviously Ryan Shazier was the heart and soul of that defense. Ever since he went out last year, the opposing team's punter hasn't set foot on the field.
They can't stop anybody.
Yeah, to lose one guy and to have your whole defense fall apart, that's and once again we see Antonio Brown's running his mouth and he says he's sorry. I mean, the guy got paid and he still got issues. I got to give credit. You and Senior called this out about a few years ago. Mike Tomlin runs that place like Oz. And,
it's toxic locker room.
It's finally starting to catch up to him. And this might be the year where he might have to. As a matter of fact, between them and the Ravens, whichever one of them doesn't make the playoffs, I have a feeling the coach is going to be a bye-bye. And it's not because they're bad coaches. As a matter of fact, but both of them, if either one of them gets canned, they'll have a job by the next week.
Agreed.
That's what you could tell a good coach is that if they get fired, somebody else is going to scoop them up. But after a while, if you stick with the same team too long and it doesn't happen, you just got to go in a different direction.
Right, for sure. You know, the thing that really impressed me about Mahomes this week, so all through the preseason and week one, he seemed kind of laser focused on Tyreek Hill. And you were kind of wondering, is he going to get the other guys involved? Because if teams have to game plan, if they know you're just going to lock onto one guy, they game plan to stop that one guy. As good as Tyreek Hill is, it's beatable. Well, it looked like the Steelers came out and said, we're going to stop Tyreek Hill. And so Mahomes throws a touchdown pass to Kareem Hunt. Kelce has a huge day. And Sammy Watkins, who I think is just an ultra-talented guy who's never really been in the right situation, seeing him go for 100 yards is kind of, he's like the fourth option on that offense. I mean, what a great, great fourth option. I mean, he's as talented as any receiver in the league. And I mean, if he could ever put it all together, I mean, he's a guy who at Clemson was younger than DeAndre Hopkins and better than DeAndre Hopkins when they were on the same team. I mean, he was clearly the better player. So that I was really impressed with Mahomes when they took away his first option going to the other options. Clearly, he can't keep this up, right? I mean, it's no one would ever expect him to keep this up. But any reasonable facsimile of this, where if he can keep his turnovers down, and he hasn't had any, I don't believe, if he can, that was the big knock on him coming in was, yeah, he's a gunslinger. He's going to make the incredible play, but he's going to, he's going to chuck it up into traffic and stuff. And it looks like Reed has just groomed him in this system to not do that. So if he can continue that, I mean, their defense is awful, but even they could be an exception to the rule of a team with just a terrible defense that could. Make it to the Super Bowl. They kind of remind me with the weapons of the Rams, of the greatest show on turf with the weapons they have.
Right. That's an excellent point because usually young quarterbacks, they rely on one or two guys and they zero in on. But right away, as you saw, in week one, he hit the fullback for like Sherman for like a 30-yard TD. So he's using like six or seven receivers and that's to his credit. It's a real special talent. But like I said, we'll see if he keeps it up in weeks 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, absolutely. And this week, that game's probably another shootout. I wouldn't put it past the Niners to go in there and win. I mean, Garoppolo is playing well, but I mean that game has 50-49 written all over it.
Yeah, they're not ready for the Chiefs yet. But.
And then, what do you think about Fitzpatrick? So you would think he's going to turn into a pumpkin here at one point or another, but he's playing.
But that's his history. He can't keep that consistency. But you already hear that Deshaun Jackson. Really doesn't have that chemistry with Winston, and you hear Deshaun Jackson saying, "How could they make that switch if Fitz keeps playing like this?" So there may be some division in the locker room, but you notice he doesn't really hit. It seems like Winston favors Evans, has better chemistry with Evans, and Fitz has a better chemistry with Deshaun Jackson. So we'll see if that caused anything. But
it's not like Evans is not. Doing it. And Evans had 150 yards and a touchdown week one. He caught a touchdown this week. That team hasn't won in so long, too.
Yeah, but Fitz's history is that he's inconsistent. Eventually, the curve is going to go downwards, and he's going to. And also, he's very turnover prone.
Right. And that's the thing. He's had hot streaks in his career before. I don't know exactly if he's ever been this hot, but. And then, I mean, it's tough not to see this Monday night matchup. Pittsburgh's going into Tampa. I'm considering going. I'm going to be in Florida. I'll let the listeners know if I
oh wow
if I make it there. But Pittsburgh in Tampa, so on his home field against that shit defense, as you described, where I know Ben Roethlisberger sucks on the road, but Tampa's defense isn't any good either. So, I mean, this game has to be a shootout. So there's no way Winston, I mean, unless Fitz gets hurt or lays the stinker of all stinkers in this game, there's no way they can give Winston the job back right away. But it's really a great situation for the team to be in that I think it really smart of them before the season started to say there's no guarantee Jameis gets his job back. You know, I think a lot of organizations would have just stood behind their guy. I don't know if you remember. It was a few years ago when Jay Cutler got hurt for the Bears. And right away, they said, Jay's our starting quarterback. When he comes back, he's our starting quarterback. And McCown came in and reeled off. It was like 4 or 5 wins in a row. And he was basically playing like Fitzpatrick is now.
Right.
And then Cutler came back, and they had pigeonholed themselves. They put themselves in a corner, so they had to play him. And I think really, really smart organizationally to – put that caveat out there first. There's no guarantee Jameis is getting his job back. So now that's the expectation, is that if Fitzpatrick's playing well, Winston isn't going to get his job back. But I think we both know that eventually Fitzpatrick's not going to be playing well, and you have Jameis Winston coming in off the bench with a chip on his shoulder. This is a surprise team, and I think they could be onto something here.
Yeah, and also the coach Carter is kind of on the hot seat. If they pull another 6-10 or a 7-9, he might be gone. So you never know. You never know what he's going to do. He may just go to win this year, even though Winston is their franchise guy.
I mean, it just speaks to the parity of the NFL too, because when you're looking at the schedule at the beginning of the year, was there more of a mortal lock than Ryan Fitzpatrick would lose at New Orleans and home for Philly? I mean, nobody in their right mind would think they would even be 1-1. Never mind 2-0.
That's the biggest shocker after two games, that all the Florida teams are undefeated, Tampa and Miami.
Right. You know, I mean, I don't want to poo-poo too much on Miami, but what Miami's done has been much less impressive, in my opinion. I mean, the Jets played the Jets gave that game away this week. I mean, they had chances to win that game. Yeah, they have a rookie quarterback. They're going to give some games away.
They came in. The Dolphins, you got to give them credit, though. They played the perfect road game. Where Gase kept he came right out the bat. The crowd's going crazy, and on the first possession, he calls a boot for Tannehill. Tannehill runs 20 yards, and the Jets defense was on the heels the whole game. A lot of times, coaches, a little thing like that can make a difference to steal a road game like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great point, John. So another team, and I'm really interested in your thoughts here. The Rams look like absolute world beaters so far. I mean, I think if you had to say who's the best team in the NFL through 2 weeks, offense and defense, it's got to be them, right? Well coached, offense is humming. The defense shut out Arizona, which, you know, probably isn't as impressive as as it sounds. But there's this talk out there about Goff being being kind of a system quarterback and maybe won't be able to get it done in the big game. And they did lose in the first round of the playoffs last year in a game that, you know, I personally thought they were going to win. Where do you stand on them?
I would pump the brakes a little because of the competition. Oakland and Arizona look like who may win about five games between them for the whole season. So, and this week the Chargers at home versus the Chargers, it looks like the Chargers still don't have Bosa, so it looks like another easy one. But let's see when they got Minnesota week four, at Seattle, at Denver. Maybe halfway through the season, my opinion will change. But right now I would be tempered enthusiasm. It doesn't look like they're going to get much resistance in that division.
No resistance. I mean, yeah. The Niners. That was a
Niners
nice
are a year away. Yeah, the Niners are a year away though.
And so, Seattle's been predictably yeah, pretty awful.
Yeah,
it's really a shame. And we talk about them for a minute. I mean, you know, they put up a fight against the Bears. I mean, the Bears are spunky, but the Bears I think are a year away too. But it's really a shame. I mean, Wilson is such a great quarterback, and they have just mismanaged that situation. How do you not invest in your offensive line when you have an all-world quarterback like that? You know,
yeah. The problem was they spent all that money on their defense with Sherman and Thomas and all those guys. Yeah, and not only that, those guys weren't even loyal. You know, Sherman started acting up a little bit, and Thomas too with the holdouts, and Bennett caused whatever. So you see what happened. But that game was an example where Thomas dominated in 10 positions on the field, and Seattle dominated in one position, which was the quarterback, and that was the only way that game was close.
Oh, I know, and I mean, it's not even like the line; it's just the line. Like, they don't really have any good skill position guys either. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Their running back situations.
Yeah, sure. When Brandon Marshall's your number one wide receiver, you got problems.
Yeah, and I mean, Dougie Baldwin is hurt, and he's a very good receiver, but he's not like a true number one. He plays in the slot. I like him a lot, but it's a sad state of affairs over there. They might go 4-12, something like that, which is inconscionable with a quarterback that good. Like, I don't. Yeah. I mean, with that line, I mean, I think especially. I mean, I think it's very possible that he doesn't make it through the season. He's good at not taking hits, but you know, sometimes you don't see the guys coming.
Yeah, the offensive line is horrific. And speaking of that, are we going to get to it eventually, or the Sunday night game, or are you going to wait?
Oh, no. Yeah, you know what, John? We are, you know, this is a 50-50 split here, my friend. So you want to talk Cowboys-Giants? We'll talk Cowboys-Giants.
I want to get it over with because I brought up a horrific offensive line play, and I just want to get it over with.
Yeah. So I know, and we've talked about this before. And yes, it's horrific offensive line play. But what are your thoughts on the quarterback?
No, there was a few chances where the offensive line did their job, and the quarterback had guys open, and he couldn't do it. He missed them. He might be either anticipating getting hit again, or it just may be time's up. You know, He doesn't have that crispness. He missed a couple guys in the first game. He had Beckham open the end zone a couple times. He overshot him. I won't say it's the age getting to him because he still has the arm strength, but it's the awareness it must be losing it, or from taking so many hits. Now he's anticipating the hits too much, and he's missing out on the few chances that the offensive line does give him. He he's missing receivers, and now he's turning into a check down Charlie.
I was going to say check down Charlie. Saquon Barkley, 14 receptions, right, for 70 yards or something.
He's doing that too quick without even giving a chance for the receivers. So.
I mean, it's a bad combination.
It's a bad combination of both, man.
Because plus they went out and surrounded him with such good players that.
Such good players, but not good players on the offensive line. And that's another thing. You can't really bring in a whole different offensive line. The offensive line is kind of like teamwork. You have to block cohesively. There were a couple times there where Dallas just did a simple stunt, a simple crisscross, and you'd see four Giants offensive linemen blocking one guy, and two or three other guys are roaming three to the quarterback. It's teamwork, so you can't just stick guys together, a whole offensive line. There's only one player that stood from last year, and he's the worst guy, which is Flowers.
He is a turnstile.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a thing where they need cohesion, where it's only two games and all that, but then how long do you got to wait? Are they going to get it together in week 6 or 7, or they may never get it together? So offensive line, it's like teamwork. It's a unit, so and the guys never played together.
Right. And, I mean, I think they'll be better than what they have been, but – that was a really ugly game. And, I mean, Dallas wasn't much better, frankly. It's not
well,
as
to give credit, you keep down them, but their defense is impressive to me.
Yeah, they have a good pass rush. It's just I can't get past offensively.
Prescott made one great pass, but in that game, that was enough to do it.
Right. I mean, that was a great play, but, I mean, Tavon Austin isn't really a receiver. You know, I mean, I don't understand how you let Dez go when you just got nothing. Like they got. I mean, I can see letting him go, but you got to replace him with somebody, right? I mean, if I were them, I would have been the first ones on the phone for Josh Gordon. They don't give a shit about character. They're the ones who they brought in Greg Hardy, three times as bad of a guy as Josh Gordon.
Yeah, that game shouldn't have been even as close as it was. They had their tight end Gathers, who used to play basketball for Baylor. They're trying to turn him into Antonio Gates, but he doesn't have Antonio Gates' hands. He dropped an easy touchdown. So,
did another big story. So we'll see what happens. The Giants are at Houston this week, which isn't quite as daunting as it seemed.
No, they weren't that impressive, to be honest. If you want to get into that, that was an under the radar. Nice little intriguing game. You didn't expect much with Gabbert replacing Mariota, and you got to give kudos to Grable who won that game with Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, I mean it's an ugly. I mean, I don't know. Any way you slice it, even though it's on the road, it's a pretty ugly loss for Houston to lose to Blaine Gabbert. I mean,
yeah, especially they had the lead too, and they let Gabbert lead the Titans to two field goals, a tie-in and a win a field goal. They got down 14-0, but a good job from the coach Vrabel.
Yeah,
he recognized that he was limited with Gabbert, and he pulled a nice fake punt out of his ass. But even so, they took a 14-0 lead, and then they fell behind 17-14. And the Texans, they couldn't stop Gabbert. Gabbert led them to two field goals, the tying and the winning one. So.
Yep. And what do you think of Watson? I mean, I think he's not really all the way back yet.
Yeah, it's just rust. Because he was very dynamic last year. Last year he looked terrific. So he just got to wipe the rust off. And unfortunately, it might come this week. The Giants, Olivier Vernon is still out there. The Giants' defense has kind of been bend but don't break, but they haven't really helped out. That's another thing. Getting back to hurting the Giants, like for about 2 years straight now, that their defense hasn't been larcenous. With turnovers or giving the offense a little boost with a pick six, and their special teams is amongst the worst in the league. Their return is a horrible, like a little punt return, like you see these other teams. They get a punt return for a touchdown or a kickoff return or a pick six or a fumble return, and that maybe gives your offense a little boost, so, which the Giants could desperately need because the Giants have to do everything on the offense, have to score every point by themselves.
Yeah, well, the thing is, too, John, I mean, this is really, for both teams, it's a must-win game, right?
Oh,
if you're,
sure.
If you're going to do anything this season. Yeah. And I know that, I mean, the expectations for the Texans were pretty high coming into the year. If they lose this one at home, I mean, 0-3, your season's essentially. I mean, you know, you can, you know, you're maybe not buried, but you're in the coffin.
I think they're both pretty much done anyway. But 0-3 really drives it home.
Yeah, I mean, with the Texans, they have the, you know, they can at least hang their hat on, hey, Watson's going to be better, you know. But the Jints, the line's got to be better. So real interesting game. I'm interested to see how it plays out. So I kind of like Houston, unfortunately.
Yep, me too.
And then the other big news this week is, fittingly, and maybe not an accident, after going into Tampa and losing with Nicky Foles, the original check down Charlie, Carson Wentz making his return, Indy coming into Philadelphia. So I think he'll be better than Foles, but I think people should temper their expectations a little bit that he's going to be the same guy as he was right before the injury. You're seeing it with Watson, and you see it with basically everyone not named Adrian Peterson, that takes a little bit to like you said, shake the rust off, and, you know, I think to trust your legs again. And then, you know, his legs are a big part of his game too. He's like a, you know, young Roethlisberger with his escapability. So what do you expect from him?
It's more about what I expect from the Colts with a new coach there. That was a surprising game, a victory they pulled out in D.C. in front of nobody, the Redskins. Boy, you talk about a franchise having a rough year. They had about, for their home opener, they had about 20,000 empty seats, and they can only put up 9 points versus the Colts. I don't know if it's the Colts who got an improved offense or maybe some improved toughness under Reich, but that's not a good look for the Redskins to only put up 9 points against them. And you want to talk about another guy, Alex Smith. Already, if you're playing check down Charlie versus the Colts, what happens when you got to play the Eagles, Dallas, Giants, Jacksonville,
right.
The Redskins? Yeah, I don't know if it was the Redskins were apathetic or the Colts are improved and have a tougher team this year.
I mean, the Colts defense really is, generally speaking, I don't think is very good. I like Alex Smith. I'm willing to chalk that, give him the benefit of the doubt, and chalk it up to just a really, really bad game. I mean, they just played a bad game. We'll see. They have Green Bay coming into Washington this week, which, you know, if you're a good team, you get a chance to win that game. Green Bay on the road, you know, you're at home. Green Bay's defense, not great, and Rodgers at quite a bit less than 100%.
But yeah, getting back to Philly, that's a nice soft return for Wentz. And
and I'm sure they play. You know, that's got to be part of their decision process. Is, you know, you wouldn't want to bring him back to go to Jacksonville or something.
Yeah, and plus their ground game has been working pretty well with Clement and Ajayi.
Yeah, with Ajayi and Sproles are both like very questionable for this game, so it could really be the Clement show. I like him. I think he's a real good player.
Yeah, especially around the goal line. He's really got a nose for the goal line.
Yeah, and good hands. He's got good hands too. You know, another surprise team, John, that, you know, we make a lot of bold predictions. I made a little prediction with these guys. You think the Bengals are for real? It was a nice win. Nice win against the Ravens on Thursday. They're sitting at 2-0. Real tough road game this week at Carolina. Dalton has looked good. Their defense has looked good. Obviously, AJ Green's a great player, but, you know, their line's playing well, and their pass rush, you know, Geno and the boys. You think they can give Carolina some problems?
If Mixon was playing, I think they would be an upset special, but without Mixon, it's going to be tough. But I've been impressed by them. That was one of your good picks, it looks like, so far. But I think Mixon is out, and that's going to hurt them. And that's a tough place to get a W in. Carolina usually holds serve at home.
Yeah, especially Carolina coming off a tough loss at Atlanta. They played a good game. Atlanta, you know, you you know, I give credit where it's due. You said don't hit the panic button on Atlanta. They looked a lot better this week.
Especially around the goal line. They figured something out. They found other options. Yeah. Instead of zeroing in on Julio Jones, they went with their other options, and it worked out. But getting back to the Bengals, yeah, very impressive how they came out the gate. You figure the Ravens would want blood after the way they eliminated them last year from the playoffs, and they took it to the Ravens.
Yeah, no, it was nice to see the guy who eliminated them, Tyler Boyd, had a huge game. He actually looks like a real, like a legitimate weapon in the slot for them. I think that's, you know, people aren't talking too much about that, but having that real solid slot receiver, you've seen it time and time again, is huge for a quarterback, especially a guy like Dalton, who's a little mistake prone. Giving him somebody the ability to throw it to 7-8 yards from the line of scrimmage, some nice easy completions, is big.
And that Sean Williams was impressive. He was just around the ball on every play. It seemed like he had a magnet in his helmet. He was cued into the ball. He had an excellent game.
Absolutely. You know, I want to touch on one more game, and then, you know, we can probably call it a night here. But another big game this week, New Orleans at Atlanta. Fun game, high-octane offenses. Again, not quite to the Giants-Texans level, but both of these teams, with the aspirations these two teams have, division game, I don't know if it's a must-win, but it's a big game. How do you see it playing out?
I'm kind of boring on these. When in doubt, especially in the NFC South, the trend is to the home team in the NFC South.
Yeah, I mean, Atlanta played a good game last week, and the Saints. Yeah. You know, the Saints haven't looked good, really. You didn't think the Ingram thing would be as big of a deal as it is, but to lose to Tampa, which, you know, in retrospect, I guess Tampa's playing well, but you still lost at home to Tampa. And then to go life and death, I mean, that Cleveland should have won that game, right?
I mean, well, of course.
You know, up 10 in the fourth quarter. It's a very Browns way to do things to lose that one.
And, so, and it's still troubling after last year, the way they lost in the playoffs. Once again, they gave up a big pass in the last minute. That's still got to be troubling. You figure their secondary problems were worked out.
Right. Apparently not, John. But I don't know. I'm really looking forward to Sunday and Monday. It's a real, real good week as far as watching, because you have the 1 o'clock, the 4 o'clock, and then Sunday night, Pats are always a fun game to watch. And then that Monday night game, Pittsburgh at Tampa Bay, is going to be a shootout. And like I said, there's a 20% chance I'm in the building.
Don't they raise the Jolly Roger?
They do raise the Jolly Roger.
Yeah, well, hopefully Jolly Roger won't be raised, because you'll be away from the misses. So hopefully you behave.
Oh, I'm always very well behaved.
I know.
Thank you for that. I'll be there for business, and I'm going to be about an hour away. So we'll see if I'm done in time. I think I might on a whim do the John D'Amato and head to the game by myself.
That's a patented move. It's less stressful that way.
Cool. So listeners, all five of you, I think we're up to five. We're at two. The 2.0 Joe from last week brought the listenership up to five. But if there's anything you want us to talk about, anything, any stuff you want us to cover format-wise, this is a brand new show, so we're open to suggestions. Shoot an email, message the PTBN page on Facebook. If you know John or I, feel free to message us directly. And if anyone wants to come on, we're more than happy to have special guests. I'm sure everyone's already sick of hearing just the two of us. You concur with that, John?
Oh, please, yeah. We need some fans of other teams. We don't want to hear me crying about my Giants and you blowing your Patriots every week. We don't want to hear that.
Right. I mean,
what
we're doing on here, you know what we do sometimes? We're breaking balls, right? We're just breaking balls.
Yeah, nah, we don't do that anymore. We keep it fair. We cover most of the teams, and we're honest about our teams.
Absolutely. So, any last thoughts or plugs, John?
No, just the Wednesday AMQB. Look forward to it. It should take you about a good 5 to 10 minutes to read, but it's just some random observations. Nothing earth shattering.
Excellent. Everyone read that. And we'll be back next week, guys. So for John D'Amato, I'm the Cowboy, and we're out of here.